Hey guys, Kyle here from Hospitality MD. Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the podcast. Before we get started, please take a moment to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and navigate to our YouTube channel and press subscribe. Each week, we post our podcast episode on our YouTube channel along with our weekly live streams and other miscellaneous hospitality content. You do not want to miss it. Our guest for this week is Juliana Hahn. She is the founder of Hospitality Copywriting Solutions, where she helps hotels and hospitality brands communicate effectively through the art of written word. Juliana is also a graduate of the La Roche School of Hotel Management, and prior to her running her own business, she held positions in food and beverage in hotels globally. Our conversation with Juliana is not only about her story, but also about her experience being a graduate of one of the best hotel schools in the world and how she took her hotel career beyond just rooms and food and beverage, managed to have a fulfilling and meaningful career in hospitality beyond the confines of the traditional hotel job. For anyone who loves hotels and hospitality, but doesn't like the hours or is getting burnt out from operations, or maybe you are just curious about different options within the hospitality realm, this is a must-listen episode for you. So stay tuned for Juliana Hahn on Hospitality MD. Juliana, thank you for being on Hospitality MD. We really, really appreciate it, and we're so glad to have you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. And it's been kind of a long time coming. Definitely been wanting to talk to you for a while. I love what you're doing in terms of your own content and just your education, I guess, for the industry and just awareness, because who knows about copywriting, right? Like, nobody does. It's kind of one of those things that I think, like, I didn't really even know what copywriting was really until I started having to figure it out for my own website recently. And I thought copywriting was like, you know, what you do if you're like getting rights to something, you know, like you're copywriting like a music or something like that. So that was kind of what I thought it was originally. And I'm sure a lot of people probably felt that way. So you definitely opened a lot of people's eyes, I'm sure, with your content and everything.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because honestly, I actually didn't know exactly what copywriting was either until just several years ago when I got started, right? I mean, I was working in hotels and kind of looking for a way to bring my creative side more into my work again, and then kind of stumbled over this copywriting thing. And at first I also thought it was like something to do with legal topics and getting rights to your work and stuff like that. And then like when I started reading up on it, I realized like, yeah, someone has to write all this stuff. Like everything you see, whether it's on a website or it's a product description in a catalog or on even on Amazon, right? Or if it's like text on a package of a product you're buying in a store, like someone had to write that and come up with that. And then I realized, well, yeah, hotels need that too, right? I mean, they have websites, they have marketing materials, and hotel tech companies, same goes for them, right? They have blogs, they have websites that they need copy for. And I started digging and found that was actually a really, really exciting domain.
Well, you know, because as you mentioned, like this wasn't something that you've always been doing, right? You didn't just wake up when you were like, you know, 16 years old and say, I want to be a copywriter. So it's kind of been a little bit of a process for you. But I want to start with the hospitality portion of it, because you're not just a copywriter, you're a hospitality copywriter, which is so much, I mean, I'm biased, but I think that's way cooler and way more special. You know, if you really are so passionate about hospitality that you've specialized in it. So let's go back and start. I'm going to start with a question that I like to ask almost all of our interviewees, which is, do you remember the first time you felt hospitality? This could be from when you were a kid, when you started working. Dig deep.
Oh, that's a great question, actually. I think there's a few examples that come to mind. Like, for one thing, it would always be when we would visit family in the US. So I grew up in Germany. My dad's American and my mom is German. So like, we would spend the whole year in Germany, and then we would go to the US in the summer every once in a while, not every year, but every few years. And there we would always meet like my dad's parents, obviously, and then his brothers and all the like the college friends he was still in touch with. And everyone was always so fun and welcoming and had like dinners planned or outings planned. And we just always did so much fun stuff with everybody. And it was just a really, like, it's really great memories thinking back to that. And everyone was always excited to open up their home and welcome us and like go out of their way to show us a good time, right? Even if like many of his friends hadn't like met my mom that often or like didn't know me at all, but it was just the whole family, everyone was welcome, and it was just a great time spent. So yeah, I think that's a really good example of hospitality that I remember from an early age.
So yeah, so your family showed you hospitality. That's, you know, I will say that, and I'm sure this goes for everybody, you know, even if it was the other way around. But I remember when I was younger and like I had family that I had never met coming from Italy to the United States. And, you know, they weren't even like staying in my house or anything like that. But it was like such a big deal. Like everyone was like, you know, we want to show them like the utmost hospitality. And yeah, it's just different. Like when you're coming from a different country and coming to the US for either the first time or even the second time, and you just, there's just something about wanting to show somebody like, we care about you. We want you to be comfortable. We know you're in a place that you're completely unfamiliar with. Cause like, if you thinking back, were you nervous about coming to the US? Like every now and again, was it kind of like a, oh man, like, I don't know what it's going to be like, or this is like a foreign country we're unfamiliar with. Did you ever feel like that prior to showing up?
No, not really. Because I mean, we'd go from when I was a really young kid. So we'd go regularly, and it was for me just kind of something we did. And like, I knew it was going to be fun because the last time it was fun.
Nice.
And so, yeah, I remember being just more excited rather than nervous. Maybe another good example of hospitality was also related to the US, but when I was in high school, I did one of those exchange years, you know, where you spend like your junior year with a host family.
Yeah.
So I did that. And there I was nervous. I mean, I was going to go live with a family that I didn't know for a whole year. And yeah, I remember being quite nervous about that. But then again, it was an amazing example of hospitality. Like they opened their home to me and just, yeah, also went out of their way to show me a great time and to welcome me and to make me part of their family. So yeah, that was definitely a great example of hospitality from strangers who didn't have to invite me into their home, right, and take me in. So that was another great experience of hospitality.
So you basically just showed up at like the airport in the US, wherever it was, and then whoever was waiting there for you, like you had never met them, nothing like that, and they just kind of were like, hey, we're your host family, we're going to take you back to our house now.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, they had picked me from a number of exchange students that had been suggested to them by the organization that we went through. And they basically just knew me from a form that I had filled out, a couple of photos I had submitted, a few things that I'd written about myself, like what I like to do, what I like to do with my family, my friends, favorite school subjects, like the typical thing I guess you would ask a high school kid. And then yeah, they sent me some family photos. We wrote a few emails and letters back and forth, but I don't even think we had a phone call before I went there.
Wow.
So yeah, we really did not know each other at all. And still, yeah, it went amazing. So
that takes a lot of courage. Like because the whole time you're talking about this, I'm thinking like, would I even now, like even now as not even a high school kid, as an adult, would I be like so open to just like going and upping and going to another country and staying in another person's home, who I never met for an entire year. Like, you're committed basically like to that experience. I'd have to think about it, but that definitely either way takes a lot of courage for you to do. Did you like at any point, like, you know, you mentioned you were coming with your family here, you did the exchange program, and I know that was, you know, you were staying in the house, but did you have a lot of experience staying in hotels, particularly as a kid? Did you experience like that part of the industry a lot, or was that new to you kind of as you grew up?
A little bit. Like, usually when we traveled around the US, we would stay with family and friends. We would like deliberately travel to cities or states where we knew someone, just to kind of combine the tourism aspect with catching up with people you don't get to see a lot if you live on another continent. But we did some traveling around Europe where we would stay in hotels, and yeah, usually we'd stay at like fairly no frills, simple places. But I do remember some really nice experiences where we stayed in this little bed and breakfast in Ireland. So my parents would often not do a whole lot of research about hotels. Like, they'd know which cities or places they wanted to go to, but then we would just drive there and show up and like be like, okay, where's the next bed and breakfast? Like, ask the local tourism information office, right? And then they would recommend people. And they suggested this lady who ran this little B&B out of her house. And oh, she was just the nicest person ever. She made this huge breakfast with all these things that we would never have at home. So of course, as a kid, I was totally excited about all these fancy yogurts and cereals and bakery items and things she got us. And she gave us really cool suggestions about restaurants to go to and places to see that like maybe not so many other travelers would know about, because maybe they weren't like the hot spots, but they were kind of cool just because not a lot of people went there. So yeah, she was really great. And I still remember her, even though I was just 11, I think, back then. So I think, yeah, that shows that it made quite an impression on me.
Definitely. Like, I'm sure she would be so pleased to know if she knew that we were talking about her right now, you know, knowing that her hospitality all those years ago is something that not only you remember, but now will be shared with a bigger audience because we're talking about it now. So it really does go to show that, like, you know, your hospitality that you show to somebody matters. It's never in vain. Yeah. If you give somebody hospitality, because it sticks with people and it's really important. Absolutely. Like, the fact that you even remember what you had for breakfast one day, you know, 15, yeah, 20 years ago, like, it's crazy. Like, who, I don't even remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. And I actually probably didn't even eat breakfast for that matter, but you know, it is, certainly admirable that you have those memories of hospitality as a child. So you're not foreign to like the feeling of hospitality and everything like that. How did you transition these like kind of more abstract instances of feeling it from friends and family and kind of having some fleeting experiences with the hotel industry and the hospitality industry, kind of as an institution, to translating that to working in five-star hotels, you know, kind of you went to Les Roches. How do you actually pronounce that school, right?
Les Roches. Yeah.
La Roche. Okay. So you went there, which is like probably one of the most renowned, if not the best, hotel school on the planet. How do you translate these experiences to doing that and be really diving in head first to the hotel industry?
Yeah, that's actually another great question, because I used to, like in my later years in high school, I used to really want to go into science, like chemistry, biology, like that was my thing. And I, like, to me, it was set, like, that's what I was going to study and work for some like pharmaceutical company. I wanted to be like in development for new medication and things like that. And we had a pretty big company close to where I'm from in Southern Germany. And they had like this amazing program I wanted to join. And then my mom found this brochure for like a career fair kind of thing for people that were going to finish up high school soon. And I thought, well, we don't really need to go there. Like, I know what I want to do. So, and finally she's like, no, we should. And well, we did. And there was this this stand from La Roche. And my mom was actually more interested in it than me. She kind of just wanted to hear what they had to say. And I thought, okay, you know, let's do that, whatever. I mean, can't hurt. And then by the time we walked away from that booth, like, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes later, I was sold on the idea. I was going to study hospitality. I was going to work in hotels all around the world. And yeah, I mean, they just told us about the program and how you would do internships, and you could do them basically wherever you wanted, right? In any country where a hotel would accept you as a trainee. And I thought that would just be the greatest way to discover the world, to not just travel to cool places, but to actually live there and work there. And yeah, that's that just totally threw all my plans of going into science overboard, and hospitality it was. And yeah, I never really looked back after that.
I want to hear whoever this like recruiter was who was there, like, talk about like probably like a great salesman or great salesperson, right? Like, yeah. They derailed your entire plans for your whole life in like 5 or 10 minutes. We're not just talking about selling you, you know, even to sell you like a car would be like a huge purchase, right? But they sold you on your life plans in 5 or 10 minutes. But you know what? It also goes to show hospitality is just so like people connect to it so easily. And it's such a cool, like vibrant industry that
absolutely
it almost sells itself to a certain extent.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, how they were talking about just the student body at La Roche, which is so international and diverse. I mean, it's amazing. And yeah, the opportunities they get you. I mean, for that school, I feel like it's less about what you learn there in class, but about the people you meet. Like, I grew up in a small town south of Munich where it's like, yeah, there's just really not a whole lot going on, right? And you don't, unless you travel out, you don't really see anything new or different or especially interesting there. So going to a school like La Roche, you meet so many people from around the world and learn about their culture and their customs and their way of working. And I think you get ready for working in hospitality, which is such an international field, right? Like, I've never worked in a hotel where like everyone was from the same country or the same background. Like, in hotels, you will always have colleagues from different countries who speak different languages, who have a different approach to their work. And you need to come to terms with that, and you need to find ways to work with that. Right. And going to such an international school was a really great way to prepare for that. And then of course they have good industry connections to help you find great internships, which I think was one of the reasons why I was able to get such a great, like work experiences even before going out into the workplace. So yeah, I mean, just them telling me about that beforehand, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to do this. So
I'm curious because, you know, you kind of hinted on it a little bit, but like, you know, it's interesting. Like, you went to like the top hospitality and hotel school on the planet. I actually never went to college, never went to any hotel school. So I'm curious, and like I feel like I'm doing okay in the hotel industry too, like I think we both are. So I'm wondering, like, for those of our listeners who may be curious, like, you know, if they're in school, should I change my major to hospitality wherever school they're going to, or if they're looking forward to you know, going to college, what should they do? Or for people who are, should I go back to school to get my degree in hospitality? Like, What do you honestly think? Like, is it necessary? Is it worth it? Like, what's your opinion on getting a degree in hotel management after having gone to the best school on the planet?
I think my instructors might not like to hear that so much, but I don't think it's really about the academic side of things. Like, yeah, in the courses we learned some good things about hospitality, especially if you don't come from a background where your family owns or runs hotels and you don't really know much of anything, then that's, a school like that is great. But I think in hospitality, what's more important is the attitude you bring and how you deal with people, how you deal with like staff, team members, managers, guests. And I think that's not something you really learn or are taught. Like, you don't really learn that in a school. I think that's probably something you learn from life itself, right? From your from your work experience or from your experiences you gain out in the field. So I think studying hospitality could be great to just build a network, like from really early on, because the people that you study with, they're going to probably be managers somewhere down the line, right? And they'll be great people to keep in touch with, to learn from each other, to maybe help each other out further down the road. So I think for that, these schools are great. But otherwise, I think it's also absolutely possible to do amazing for yourself without getting a degree in hospitality. Like, I think it's really something that's in your heart and in your attitude. And if you bring that with you, then you can do amazing. But if you don't have that, then no bachelor's or master's or PhD will help you do great.
That's really, really well said. And I think I agree with you too. I think just attitude, spirit to serve, actually wanting to be selfless and provide authentic service. Like, not only, like, you know, to your point, you didn't really learn that, but can you really teach it? Or is that something that's just innate, kind of part of your DNA, or something that you develop over time or as a result of a certain life experience? So I definitely think, you know, the one reason why, like, I would think that it'd be cool to go to school for hospitality, in my opinion, because you're basically in like a guild of people who all like the same thing, like to be in an environment where everybody's like gung-ho about, well, at least maybe you think, I don't know, maybe there are people who weren't gung-ho about it, but in theory, I always pictured it as being in like a guild of people who are all super excited and happy to be doing this and love hotels and all want to learn and grow together. And then I also am like weak at food and beverage, like clumsy, no knowledge of it. Like I'm scared of it. So for them to be like, okay, we're going to force you to like do these food and beverage activities, would just be a great, for me at least, that's kind of what I was always like, that'd be a cool way to get some experience there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had some both practical and theoretical classes. So if you'd never worked in a restaurant before, or if you would never made a bed or something, then that was something we learned, right? We had a class for how to clean a hotel room or how to make a hotel bed and things like that. So that's a good experience to get. But I think that's also possible if you're going through an apprenticeship at a hotel, right? Or if you just learn on the job. And like you said, it's more of a thing that you already have with you, like this attitude and this spirit. And I guess there's always some people who might not be so excited about hospitality, where you're wondering what they're doing there at the school. But I think you have that at every university or in every course you take, where there's always a few outliers where you're like, wait, why are you here?
But and you have it at every hotel too. There's oftentimes a lot of people who are just like, okay, got it. You really don't like this.
Yeah. But yeah, you can really find like your crowd there. And pretty early on, I think I saw in my classes where like there were the ones that were super interested in entrepreneurship and like setting up their own thing once they got out of school, or those who were super keen on marketing. So like they would already be like studying how to create a cool website or how to create certain marketing schemes. They would look for like internships in those areas and specialize kind of a bit early on. So I think for that, it's also cool to be in these environments, because if you find something you're passionate about, like from the beginning when you're studying, you can really focus on that and drill down into that and use the resources one of these schools could put at your disposal, right? So I think for that, it's also something great.
Well, I know like your experience after college was primarily F&B focused up until you kind of got to where you are now. So was that the thing for you that you kind of saw that was like, oh, I really like food and beverage, like this is cool? Or was that kind of just by default you ended up there and you never really knew what you were passionate about until after you got out of school?
I liked the F&B department from the beginning. So I did one internship at reception and I liked it okay, but I really thought, okay, yeah, F&B is absolutely where I want to go. Like my second internship was in kitchen and I loved it. After that, I got to work with the amazing team at the Plaza Atene in Bangkok. I was working there with the director of F&B, and that was just fantastic to see what went into a hotel with, I think, what was it? 6 or 7 F&B outlets. Like their F&B and events revenue was 60% of like the hotel's total revenue. So it was a big operation.
Wow. I just got chills when you said that. That's crazy.
Yeah. And working with them was amazing. It was the people there, they had such creative ideas and like the things they made happen. I don't know. Sometimes I think in Europe, it would take a team like 3 or 4 times the size to do that. And it still wouldn't be as good. So yeah, working with them really showed me like, yeah, F&B is kind of my area. Then even afterwards, like when I went for my first job, I got to work in a really great place in Jordan. I mean, talk about a fantastic destination, right? Like working by the Dead Sea in Jordan, that was just like, I mean, who gets opportunities like that, right? That was a fantastic place to start.
That's awesome.
It was challenging. It was a challenging property, but it was still really fun. And again, the team there, like they pulled stuff off where it's like, wow. I mean, it was a property that was far away from a city. So just even getting staff to work there was challenging because like you had to get people to and from, and not everybody there had a car. It's not like in Europe where, mobility is as easy, right? So they did an amazing job with the resources they had available to them, and getting to be part of that was also really, really great. So to me, F&B was just I still love it. Like when I go to hotels, I'm always curious about the restaurants they have. I always walk around and see what all there is, and like to see how they handle their operation. Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. Again, I'm jealous because I wish that I had like, you know, the type of understanding that you have in F&B, or even to see it, because I feel like, you know, you described this hotel in Bangkok with all their event experiences and their restaurant experiences. And I'm thinking like, you know, you said in Europe, it would have taken a team 4 times big and it wouldn't have even been that good. And I'm thinking in the US, it probably just wouldn't have ever happened because there's just it's just different, you know? So even though we do some cool stuff over here, I don't even know if I can imagine how like exotic and cool it would probably, you know, that hotel was doing things. So I'm going to have to make a trip sometime and kind of go and check it out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you did that, and then copywriting fell into your lap. Like, how'd you go from food and beverage to copywriting? And, you know, like you said, you didn't even really know what it was for the longest time.
Yeah. So I was in F&B for quite a while, and I often got to help out with some marketing copy or like just revising some marketing text, like especially in Jordan where they didn't have any native English speakers. Like a lot of people spoke good English, but then when they had like me and a few other native speakers there, they would sometimes ask to like revise something, spell check something, make sure it sounded great. And I thought, okay, this is kind of fun. Yeah. And I didn't really think like that much more of it. But then in my last hotel job, I was thinking of, well, what could be another way to earn a living in hospitality? And I kind of came across this idea of travel writing, because that's still related to hospitality and travel and the whole industry. And then just, yeah, further research just led me to copywriting. I thought, well, that could be interesting. So you wouldn't be like working with magazines or publications necessarily, but you could actually work with fixed clients, right? That you had on, like you were working with them on retainer, for example, or help them with like a bigger project, like a website or a marketing campaign. And I just thought that sounded really cool because there's so many great properties or tech tools out there that deserve to be promoted in the best way possible. And I thought it sounded quite interesting to get to be part of that. And so, yeah, I did some training courses on copywriting. And another reason I was kind of looking into different job options was that I was looking to join my partner who was working in Thailand at the time as a revenue manager. And finding a job as an expat there could prove not necessarily difficult, like if you find the right job to apply for. But I thought, well, it it'll be hard. Like if he again has to move and then I have to cancel my work permit, get a new work permit in another place, that would be difficult. So what could I do that would make me a bit more location independent, let's say, and copywriting just kind of perfectly fit the bill. And
right, definitely.
So I decided to just, you know, give it a shot and see what happens. And when I reached Bangkok, I thought I was going to start this kind of digital nomad style freelance life, but actually was taken in by a PR agency. So it turns out they were looking for a native English writer. And I got to work with them on fantastic accounts. I mean, they were one of the top agencies in Bangkok and got to work with really big name companies, not in hospitality as much, but like just across all kinds of industry, whether it was consumer goods or telecommunications and various industries. And again, there it was a small team, but they pulled off events and campaigns that just totally wowed me. And I learned so much from them. I mean, I can't even say it was fantastic. It was a great experience. I still remember them so fondly. I've actually started working again with the team just on a few small projects now on the side. So that's really cool. Great. Yeah.
That's cool that you kind of went full circle back to your roots a little bit.
Where yeah, absolutely.
And now you've been lucky enough. I was checking out your website. I looked at like the work you did for that yacht, in Turkey, I think it was. It was like or maybe the yachts were made in Turkey, something like that. Some yacht project
in Thailand. Did. Yeah. They had these really cool, yachts where they have, I think, just like 20 to 30 guests on them max. And they go out on these amazing trips around the Gulf of Thailand. It's beautiful. Fantastic. Yeah.
Well, and like, cause I just wanted to get a feel for like your writing style and everything. And like, it was so colorful and descriptive. And it really just reminded me about how, like, you know, my early memories of hospitality were very much like, I guess, just enamored by like the branding of different hospitality organizations, because my mom is a United Airlines flight attendant.
Okay.
So I just, everything from even just their music, because they had George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue was like their song at the time. And as like a kid, I didn't know who this was. I didn't know anything about it, but I was like, this is like the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. And then you like combine it with like the words that the copy that they had and everything. And I was like, hospitality branding and stuff is just so cool and so fascinating. So I got those same feelings when I was reading your piece on the yachts. So I thought that was really cool. It made me feel good reading it. So I was like, she's awesome. Pretty good at this.
Well, that's
but exactly I think you goal. Got like, I think you got the best name out there for your website, hospitality copywriting. Who, like, how'd you get that? Was you the lucky one to get it, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, you just kind of go and see what's available, right? When you're starting your, when you're getting your website, you see which domain names are out there. And I was lucky that hospitality-copywriting was still available. That hospitality copywriting was already taken, but I figured, well, let's throw in a dash and let's see if it works. And yeah, it did. Oh,
that's pretty good. I mean, for SEO optimization and everything, like, somebody's looking it up, what would they Google, right? Probably hospitality copywriting, and then hopefully they can stumble across you.
Yeah, hospitality copywriting, hotel copywriter, those kind of, there's really just a few, like a handful of words that you would actually look for to find me. And I'm pleased to say I rank quite well for all of them. So I'm happy with that.
That is awesome. So you work with hotels, you said hotel tech as well, and just hospitality in general. Why would somebody go to a specified hospitality copywriter versus just going to like any old copywriter or like an agency, like the one that you worked at previously? Like, why did you make that distinction when you were starting out? Because this is your own business. You're an entrepreneur now, and you could have definitely like opened up the umbrella even wider, but you decided intentionally to make it hospitality related. Why did you do that?
Well, when I was working at the agency and we had clients from all these different industries, sometimes, or most of the time, really, I would have to do a lot of research and read up on it and learn a lot because I didn't know that much about certain topics. Like one of our clients was Ericsson, and we were working on like a 5G showcase that they were going to host in Thailand. And I don't know anything about 5G. I use a phone that has wireless internet, but that doesn't mean I know anything about how it works or like what goes into it. So that took a lot of reading and research to understand the topic and to be able to write about it, right? Because you can't write about something or explain something that you don't have any knowledge about or that you just don't understand yourself. So I thought, well, first of all, I missed being like involved in hospitality and like kind of being connected to the industry. And whenever we did have a hospitality client, that was like my favorite stuff to work on because it was just, it was fun and it was easy and I could just kind of get to it without having to do the same level of preliminary work, right? And so I thought, well, if I want to go freelance, then I'd love to specialize. And at first it was like, oh, but maybe like I won't find as many clients, but then like, look at the hospitality industry. It's so big. Like, there's definitely enough work there and enough projects and opportunities. So yeah, I figured it would be a great chance to get back in touch with that industry and to use the knowledge that I gained from studying it, from working in hospitality for many years. Yeah, so it was kind of seemed like a logical choice in a way. And yeah, I don't regret it. I love it. I love working with my clients and seeing what they're up to and how they always have new ideas and they're working on new things and getting to be like the first one who knows about it in some cases, like yeah. One of the first outsiders outside of their company. So yeah, I think that's a great way to go. If there's something you really like and you have the opportunity to focus on that, why not?
Yeah, because it sounds like you took the part of your job that you didn't like at all, which was like, I mean, I can only imagine like if somebody, I don't even know like what a parallel to me would be, but well, I guess even if somebody told me to like interview somebody who was like in an industry that I didn't care about, like I wouldn't want to do it. So I could understand if you like being creative, you like writing, you love hospitality, but then you have to write about 5G or something that you're just like, don't know about, don't really care to learn, but you have to do it anyway. So you decided to take out that part that you didn't like, eliminate it. So now like, would you say that you're pretty happy with what you're doing now, all things considered?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, sometimes I feel like it would be cool to write like more, maybe broader topics as well. But then I really enjoy seeing everything that's going on in hospitality. And there's so much, like it really takes up all the time, right? It's there's just so much happening. I mean, especially now with COVID, of course that just takes everything to a whole new level. Right. But like even before that, there was so much innovation and new things coming about that like if you really want to get to the bottom of it and like know what's going on, like one industry is absolutely enough. And while I totally enjoyed learning about things that I wouldn't necessarily have looked up on my own, like when I was working at the agency, I'm happy to be focused on hospitality and just keep digging deeper and seeing new sides of this vast industry.
Right. Because it's not just, you know, hotels or restaurants. It's like everything that's associated with it. So like you said, it's very vast, I think very deep as well. And you've also managed to really kind of become a little mini celebrity in the hospitality copy. Like you've really got your niche and then you've like made, so you're like the authority in this niche as well. So it's not like you're just working in it, but your involvement in the industry as a whole. And I think your previous experience and everything, it's like legitimizes you a little bit. And then you actually use that to just build relationships. Like there's no way that like you and I would have met had you not been like a well-known figure, you know. In granted, it's still like a niche group of people, you know, you're not going to get stopped on the street or anything, but at the same time, like if you know, I know if somebody said to me, we need hospitality copywriting, I would be like, oh, you got to go see Juliana. She knows everything about it. She's going to be the perfect. But like, you can only, I would only say that because you've managed to make yourself an authority in that. Was that intentional? Is this something like the content that you put out there, your LinkedIn activity, all that kind of stuff? Is this intentional, or is it just you like trying to just stay connected and be a part of the industry? And then all of a sudden you just kind of became the default go-to hospitality copywriter.
I'd say a bit of both, really. So when we had our first lockdown here in, what was that, March last year? March or April? My business slowed down a bit. Go figure, right? In hospitality. I think a lot of our fellow hospitality professionals know that experience. And I was thinking, well, what, first of all, what can I do to still keep myself busy, because I mean, there's only so much lounging around one can do. So I thought, well, hotels will need to get back on their feet, right? They'll want to make the most of travelers coming back, people wanting to book trips again, because eventually that will come, hopefully. So I thought, well, something that a lot of hotels are struggling with are like, is their website, is their copy, or whether if it's not their website copy, maybe it's writing for social media, because I mean, basically social media captions and texts are still copywriting in a way. Right. So I thought, well, even if hotels might not be able to or wanting to afford hiring someone, then they can still improve their website on their own. So let's create some content that they could use to just, work on their copy while maybe it's closed down, or maybe while their business is just a bit slow and they actually have the time. Because let's face it, if you're a hotelier, then during normal operations, working on a big thing like your website or just revamping your marketing materials, it takes a lot of time, and maybe you don't have that time, but maybe now is a chance to catch up on some of those things that you can't necessarily do otherwise. So I started just putting out a few things here and there, and got some great traction. I was actually quite surprised because I don't have a huge LinkedIn following. I didn't have that many connections before. So I was happy to see that people actually gobbled up some of that content I put out there and that it helped them. I got some nice feedback on it. And that's great. Like, if it can just help one person, then I'm already happy.
Well, that's great to know. You know, I think that's kind of the name of the game. Like, you provided value and helped people and helped the industry, even when they didn't know they needed help or didn't know that they even wanted it. Like, they didn't ask for it, but you gave it to them and allowed them the opportunity to get better or keep themselves busy or have hope for the future, especially because you started doing it at a time when nobody had any hope at all, you know, in this industry. You know, everybody was depressed, devastated, didn't know what was going on. You're like, well, you know what? There will be a future and you can prepare for it. Like, let me help you. That, I think that optimism, you know, if I had to guess, would probably be what really kind of made it happen for you, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, could be. I mean, especially if you're in such a hard situation, right? Then you maybe want something to distract you or to show you that, okay, things will get better. Let's get ready for that, because, well, what else is there to do, right? Like, you don't want to spend the whole day mulling about, oh, and things are going badly. And if there's a way that you can get ready for better times, then yeah, why not?
Well, I mean, I remember being in the hotel for the first few months of the pandemic and just being like, you know, just paralyzed by how slow it was. Like, I know that's kind of like an oxymoronical statement, I guess, but it's like, you know, it was so slow that I, in theory, could have been doing like hundreds of things to like prepare for the future. But then, you know, and I did sometimes, but there was a lot of times that I was just like, I don't even know where to start. So I'm just going to sit here and wait for a guest to come in or the phone to ring or something to happen. Because what I'm used to is being busy and helping other people.
Yeah.
So it's such a sensitive situation for a lot of people, but I'm hoping now, right, that we've been almost a year of this, has business started to come back for you a little bit? Has it started to pick up, you know, here and there with clients who are ready to move forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was really quite lucky that even during lockdown periods and when things were really very hard for the hospitality industry, I had clients who were already looking forward. So one of my clients, who's a hotel tech provider, they did a whole bunch of really cool interviews with hoteliers and marketing professionals and revenue management professionals on what can hotels do to make the most of the recovery period. How can they best get through this time of really slow business? And they actually got me to help them put that together in a set of eBooks that hoteliers can download and just go through and see, like, what can they pick up for their property? What can they implement to maybe not be hit as hard and then make the most of recovery when it comes. So I was really lucky that I had some clients who were also looking forward in that way and were really trying to serve not just their own clients, but just hoteliers everywhere, right? Like, whether or not you bought their product, like, you could download this, these eBooks and get the information from them and hopefully help out your property.
Oh, that's good on them for doing that as well. Definitely selfless way to kind of raise everybody up together. So the last question I'll ask you, Juliana, would be for anybody who's just like, you know, where do I start with copywriting, or like, what is it like, what's your like number one, like if you had to boil it down to like one thing, like that it would be like what you want to keep in mind if you're copywriting or doing something like that, what would you say to anybody?
It's hard to boil it down to one thing. I think there's a lot of things that you should like keep in mind and know, but one key thing that I think is extremely important is to know who you're writing for, like know your audience. Every marketer will tell you this when you're setting up a campaign, when you want to develop a product. For hotels, it's no different, right? Like, you need to know who you want to stay at your hotel, and you need to know what they expect, what they want to experience, what they want to feel. Like, it's so different from guest to guest, right? Like, you have people who want to be wowed and they want to be taken care of. You have other people who just kind of want hands-off experience and they want everything to be hassle-free and easy and like have minimal contact with the hotel because they're busy and they have other things to do. So I think that's really the key thing. Know who you're writing for and then address that audience in their language. And I think that kind of comes back to what you mentioned. Like, why would someone hire a hospitality copywriter, like someone that's specialized in this industry? It's because that person would know how to address that target audience. And they would know where to research that target audience, where to learn more about them and to really get into what they want and then bring that across in your content, whether it's on your website, in any print material, in your social media.
Wow. I mean, it really does sound like copywriting is an art. It's a science. It's a discipline. Like, it's everything. And I know, you know, you very nicely boiled it down to a few things, but I think for most of us, that's maybe leaving us probably more, you know, confused about where to start than helping us. So I think we should probably leave it to the pros like you. So with that being said, where can our listeners find you? Where can they see more about your work, what you do? Because yeah, I don't think that, I know I won't be doing any of my own copywriting anytime soon.
Well, I really don't want to scare anyone off because like you said, yeah, it's an art. It's a bit of a science as well, but I think it's something that you can definitely learn. And I think hoteliers who know their property and who know their guests, they can actually write really great copy. Like, it, you don't have to, like, don't make it too complicated for yourself or like try too hard. Like, if it comes from the heart and you were writing like you would address someone that you know, and as a hotelier, you know your guest, right? Like, you know who has the best time at your property, and those are the people that you want to come back. You can absolutely learn how to write for them. And that's kind of what I try to teach in some of my materials. So since you asked, you can find me at hospitality-copywriting.com. There I've got some free resources, like an ebook with like really that starts at the basics. So if you've never really considered copywriting or learning copywriting before, then you can go through that. It'll give you some handy tips. And you can also follow along on LinkedIn. If you just go for my name, Juliana Han, you'll find me there. And I share whenever I put out something new. So yeah, just awesome. Join the ride. And let's see when I put out something new next. I'm not sure yet, but something will come.
Oh, and another thing too, right? To catch both you and I actually at the Tourism World Summit. So Tourism Renaissance Summit, which will be March 23rd through the 26th. Absolutely. Both myself and Juliana will be there, along with a lot of other familiar faces that from this show that are kind of just in the community of people. It's such a small circle, right? So that's why it's amazing to see familiar faces on the roster for this conference. So definitely, you know, get your tickets so you can hear from Juliana and I, among many others. So what we'll do for our listeners is we'll put Juliana's LinkedIn profile, website, and the website for the conference in the show notes for today's episode, so everyone can get the information you need a little bit easier. So Juliana, with that being said, thank you so much for being on the show. I definitely learned a lot from you, and your perspectives were super interesting. So thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. Well, we'll see you soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you all so, so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you haven't already, please be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and check out Hospitality MD's YouTube channel. In the show notes below, you'll find all the information you need to connect with Juliana on LinkedIn and Hospitality Copywriting Solutions website, where you can see more of her work. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.